Web 2.0 is a new phenomenon that is sweeping not only our country, but our globe. Web 2.0 is a variety of things that includes new technological tools like Twitter, wikis, blogs, and podcasts. Although some people fear that these social networking sites and other tools are a waste of time, I think that if utilized correctly, they can become essential elements in the hands-on learning that our students need in this new digital era. In his article, Back to School with the Class of Web 2.0, Part 3, Brian Benzinger writes about Web 2.0 and describes many of the tools that can be utilized as a part of this internet phenomenon. First, he discusses blogs and the ways that they can be used in the classroom. I found it very interesting when he said, "I've often found, and many teachers have noted this as well, that the students would publish their school blogs even when not instructed to. Students really enjoy reaching out to the world, and they are so motivated by it that they want to write even more." I also thought it was interesting when he included the testimonials for using blogs in the classroom. My favorite was, "Never in 25 years of teaching have I seen a more powerful motivator for writing than blogs. And that's because of the audience. Writing is not just taped on the refrigerator and then put in the recycle bin. It's out there for the world to see. Kids realize other people are reading what they write. To me, this is essential. For our students, it's important for them to see that their work matters, that other people besides just the teacher or maybe a few friends will read their work. Blogs can help to achieve this by helping them to publish their work and to allow other people to read what they have written." When Benzinger discusses Flickr, he made a suggestion for utilizing it in schools. He said, "I can also see Flickr being used in photography classes, allowing students to keep an organized collection of their work, share their photos with the world, and receive commentary from viewers and classmates. Furthermore, I think that Flickr can be used in any classroom for a similar purpose. Images and photos can be brought into any classroom, especially when asking the students to create a story about themselves. These images can become essential, a book about their lives." I am a big fan of educational podcasts, so I was thrilled to learn about other websites that feature student-made podcasts. My favorite that Benzinger mentions was EduPodder, a website full of podcasts created by students. I think this could be a great webpage to use when designing a podcast project of your own. You could introduce this site to students to allow them to become familiar with podcasts and to show them the work that other students have done to help inspire them before asking them to create their own. In his article, he also discusses wikis, video sharing, RSS feeds, and Google Docs as items to be utilized and categorized under the grand title of Web 2.0. I believe that all of these tools are useful in their own right and can become valuable tools in the classroom. I found the section where he discusses the possibility for having college courses dedicated to teaching students about these tools remarkable, because that is exactly the course that we are taking now. I liked reading this part because it made me feel like our course was progressive, and I really have enjoyed doing all of these mods and learning about all of the tools. I think that if this was to expand, other colleges and universities should offer the same similar course, so that other students can have the same opportunity to learn about these great tools. Another article that I read was a blog by Steve Harrigan, who wrote, "Web 2.0 is the future of learning." I thought that in this blog, Steve Harrigan made some really fascinating points about Web 2.0. One of my favorite quotes from this blog is when he writes, "I believe that the read-write web, or what we are calling Web 2.0, will culturally, socially, intellectually, and politically have a greater impact than the advent of the printing press. I believe that we cannot even begin to imagine the changes that are going to take place as the two-way nature of the internet begins to flower, and that even those of us who have spent time imagining this future will be astounded by what happens. I think it is absolutely amazing how quickly the participation on the web is growing. From my perspective, it is so exciting to see this change take place and to be right in the middle of all the action." In his blog post, Harrigan addresses many of the important issues and brings to light many of the important features of what Web 2.0 really is. For example, he mentions the expansiveness of the web, the increased participation as a result of the web, an era of collaboration and innovation, and the uses of social learning via social networking sites. One point that really impressed me was Harrigan's statement about the way that the net is constantly growing, with more and more users buying into this new literacy each day, each hour, and each minute that passes. He writes, "The publishing revolution will have an impact on the sheer volume of content available to us that is hard to even comprehend. If fewer than 1% of the users of Wikipedia actually contribute to it, then what will happen when 10% do? Or 20%? There are over 100,000 blogs created daily, and MySpace alone has something over 375,000 new users, content creators, every day." I found these statistics to be absolutely incredible. With this many users and so many more jumping on board each day, it is impossible to ignore Web 2.0, especially for our students, who will be growing up immersed in a world centered around this web. At the end of his blog, Harrigan offers some advice to teachers for finding ways to navigate the new web. My favorite bit of advice that he offers is to, quote-unquote, help build a new playbook. He writes, "You may think that you don't have anything to teach the generation of students who seem so tech-savvy, but they really, really need you. For centuries, we have had to teach students how to seek out information. Now we have to teach them how to sort from an overabundance of information. We spent the last 10 years teaching students how to protect themselves from inappropriate content. Now we have to teach them to create appropriate content. They may be digital natives, but their knowledge is surface level, and they desperately need training in real thinking skills. More than any other generation, they live lives that are largely separated from the adults around them, talking and texting on cell phones and connecting online. We may be afraid to enter that world, but enter it we must, for they often swim in uncharted waters without the benefit of adult guidance. To do so, we may need to change our conceptions of teaching, and better now than later." I think that these words of wisdom really help to shed light on the new world we are entering. Web 2.0 is not a phase or a fad, it is here to stay. Because of this, I think it is essential that we, as educators, learn as much as we can about these technological tools and social networking sites that our students are so involved with. Web 2.0 is not the future, it's here, today, and it's time we start adapting our lessons to fit the world that we are living in.